This episode of AmateurLogic.tv is brought to you by Gigaparts.com, the amateur radio online superstore. Between now and October 15th, 2013, use the promo code ALTVFREE9 at checkout and receive a free gift with your order. MFJ, the world leaders in ham radio accessories at MFJEnterprises.com. And by ICOM. Get out, get mobile, and get more with ICOM.
Wayne and I are on our annual trip to Huntsville, Alabama for the Huntsville Ham Fest. We're not far from Huntsville now, probably within 50 miles or so, Wayne?
Probably about 35.
35, okay, we'll be there before it's dark. And we're all prepared here. We've got radios. We've got GPS. And we brought the hand dolly with us, so when Wayne picks out that big item he wants, we've got a way to haul it home.
Maybe. Yeah.
We'll see Tommy over there in the morning. He's driving overnight, so looking forward to a big time in Huntsville.
Yeah, I'm sure hoping so. We'll see y'all later.
Setup that's going on here at Huntsville Ham Fest. It's about 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. This is the dealers right here setting up. Wayne has come and going to help Tommy and I this year. We're really looking forward to a big time. We're going to wander around now a little bit before this thing gets started and see what we need to buy in the morning.
Ham Fest doors will open in 10 seconds. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 2013 Huntsville Ham Fest. We're glad you're here. We pride ourselves on being a friendly ham fest, so if you need any help this morning, find one of the friendly workers in the blue shirt, and we'll try to help you out. Once again, thank you for attending the 2013 Huntsville Ham Fest.
Well, George, we're finally here.
Yep, Southern Ham Nirvana. Tommy and I are here at the Honey Bake Ham Fest in Huntsville, Alabama.
I brought my cholesterol medicine, and I'm ready to go.
Yep, all we need now is some biscuits.
Some gravy.
Yeah, it's been a good ham fest. It's a little afternoon on Saturday, the first day of the event here. Seen just tons of friends and people from all over.
Oh, yeah, been shaking a lot of hands, kissing a lot of babies.
Yep, and that one woman tried to slap you when you tried to kiss her baby.
I thought we weren't going to put that on here.
Oh, well, never mind. Strike that. Well, we got a lot of things to see here, so what do you say we get started?
Well, let's do it, man.
Our cameraman Wayne's around here somewhere. We kind of lost him, but he'll show up by time to go home.
Yeah, about supper time.
About supper time, yep.
Yeah, anyway, I've got a few things I want to get. I made a quick peruse through here, and I didn't see him, so I'm going to have to do a little deeper digging.
I did notice the price of PL-259s are a little lower here than they were in Dayton.
Well, it's time to stock up then.
It is time to stock up. There's a good variety. I didn't see any of the gold ones that you're so fond of, though.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I did see some silver ones.
Yeah, silver will work.
Any precious metal.
It's great to be back with you again this month, and boy, didn't we have fun over at the Ham Fest, Tommy.
Yeah, we had a great time, man. Saw a lot of cool people, a lot of friends, made some new friends.
Made some new ones.
Yeah, and had a great time at the world's friendliest Ham Fest.
Yeah, hung out with Don Wilbanks and, of course, Ray and the guys from Gigaparts and, just too many folks to name.
Yeah, the usual posse and then some more.
Yeah.
Now, George, would you say that was bigger than last year or about the same? Or smaller?
I didn't attend last year. I went the year before, and it was about the same as the year that I went to.
I think it was about the same, but we're going to have a report with Charlie here, the HamFest president, later in the show, and we'll see what he says, because I just don't remember right now.
Okay, great.
But, yeah, a huge crowd, and it always is over there. Not as big as Dayton, but certainly one of the larger HamFests around, and well worth attending if you're anywhere in the area and can get there. What did you buy this
year? Just also quickly, because I'm out of the country and not familiar with Huntsville, which of your 52 states is that in?
Alabama.
The one next door.
Okay. No worries.
Yeah. So it was close enough that we could just drive right over.
Yeah, it's about 5 hours of driving, I think.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Tommy, what did you buy this year?
Well, I'm a little bit ashamed of myself.
I'm ashamed of you, too.
Well, I actually didn't buy anything. I went in there with the intentions of buying some banana plugs and some different things, and I looked all over the place for banana plugs, and I even had a few other people, including you, looking for them. And they have everything you can think of in that HamFest, but there was not a solder-type banana plug in there.
Yeah, all of them had the screws on them or one of those weird kind of deals that you really don't want to use.
So I didn't I came back empty-handed.
Oh, you got a Roku, didn't you?
Yeah, I got a Roku. One of our viewers, Ronnie, he gave me one of his spare Rokus he wasn't using. I was about to buy one, and I tell you what, I've had a ball with that thing.
You can watch some Amateur Logic now.
I have.
Okay, cool. You're the one.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what we do this month.
Yeah, we also had a little chat with Gary Pierce there from Ham Radio Now, and a good time. So we got a little backstory on our history and Amateur Logic and such.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Ran to, what, almost 2 hours?
Yeah, like the whole HamFest was like cleared out and we were still talking.
Yeah, I think it actually ended before we got through.
I saw the video. I saw the video, guys, and one of the interesting things was I wasn't quite sure who was interviewing who at various points in time.
Yeah, and we've been discussing the idea of starting a new show here, hadn't we, Tommy?
Yeah. But
and our buddy Mike Morneau in Canada gave us a little suggestion here.
Now, that picture was taken right after we came into the HamFest.
Okay. All right.
In disguise.
Yeah. Now, he suggested the name ALTV Dynasty. And yeah, we're not sure if we're going to go with that or if we're just going to do a documentary on ZZ Top.
Yeah, either one will be good.
And speaking of Mike, he sent me a prized possession here. Oh, how do you like sweet. That?
I like that a lot.
It's a duct tape wallet.
Ah, indestructible.
Yeah, there's no Canadian pesos in here. But a lot of places for you to put your credit cards and driver's license and all. He's got a little note in here. He said, "Congratulations, you're now the owner of a high-quality duct tape wallet using nothing but the finest duct tape or whatever we could get a deal on and assemble them in the state-of-the-art facility, his dining room table."
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've actually seen those before. That's a neat idea. You don't have to worry about your money falling out, right?
No, you don't. It sticks pretty good. But thanks, Mike. And I already have a roll of repair kit sitting over here. But, you know, I was thinking if I had a water hose or something busted, you know, when I was in the truck, I can just...
You never know when you're going to need some duct tape. You always have some in your pocket now.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. And... one other thing here, this photo here is this season's set of Last Man Standing. And if you look closely at the QSL cards there that Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, has on his wall, you might see one of somebody you recognize there.
Hey, I've seen that guy.
I have too.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, every time I look in the mirror.
Every time you shave.
Yeah. And as long as we're doing photos, one more here, and of course this one came from Mike too. He's our Photoshop master. Tommy, you know, I don't know that we had a clear winner on that match.
No, I don't think anybody's going to lose that one.
Yeah, and what we're referring to there, the ICOM IC7000 versus the IC7100 comparison video, that we just posted here recently. You want to go check that one out if you're interested in either one of those rigs. It'll tell you a lot about it.
Yeah, you know, it was actually kind of fun to shoot, wasn't it?
It was kind of fun to shoot, and I learned some things about my 7000 I didn't know.
Yeah.
We learned some things Ray didn't know.
Yeah, Ray learned some things he didn't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, you can't go wrong with either one. So far, it's a tie match. We're seeing comments both ways. Some are going with Team George, and some are going with Team Tommy in the 7100.
Yeah, just go T.
Go T.
I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
And speaking of Ray, we had a little chat with him in Huntsville.
Well, I've said it before in Dayton, I'll say it again. It's not a ham fest unless we stop by and see our friend Ray.
Well, I appreciate it, Tommy. Thank you for stopping by. And I know George is over in the wings just smiling at us right now.
Oh, yeah, he's hanging just off the edge of the camera. But I'm sure I can probably guess because I know what's hot and new, but what's been the most popular items around the booth here?
Well, I know I was with you guys the other day videoing, and it seemed like it was a draw there between the 7000 and the 7100. But here it was a TKO and after the first hour.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you'd actually call it a draw. They're both great radios, but he still held to his and I still held to mine.
There you go. But now, by far, the 7100 was most popular here.
I bet there's still a good bit of interest in the ID51 also, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That would definitely be the second radio, and then the other HF radios as well. But, I mean, it was interesting. One guy would come up to me and go, tell me about this radio. And I would get about two sentences in on talking about the radio, and a guy comes up, I just got one of those. And after I hear that, I just step out of the way and let him talk about what he loves about the radio.
Oh, yeah. They pretty much speak for themselves.
Oh, yeah. But we're in a hobby where people like to talk.
Oh, absolutely. Kind of hand in hand.
Oh, yeah.
I see it's kind of slacked off a little bit. I'm sure everybody's kind of tiring out like me near the end of the day.
Well, they're getting tired out, or they're going and getting ready on the hospitality suite, or getting ready for some of the banquets that are going on tonight. So that's always the behind-scenes fun at these ham fests. That makes it really worth coming to.
Oh, yeah. This is a great ham fest, too. They really know how to put it on, and the vendors and even the visitors like myself, you know, they pretty much do it up right here.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite shows because not only because of the people here, but I get to see a lot of friends and family from where I grew up.
Yeah. Yeah, you always get to come by and visit with us for a little while, too, before the show.
And then they also feed us here. And I was sitting back there earlier reminiscing with Mr. Martin Jew about the early days of my career when I was working for him. And he's like, I'm like, yeah, I might have been goofing off or goofing up, but I was paying attention.
Yeah. Oh, Martin, he's a good guy.
Oh, he definitely is.
Anyway, I just want to stop by for a couple minutes and say hi and see how it was going.
Okay, well, thank you, and goodbye to everybody.
All right, thanks, Ray.
It's always good to see Ray. They had a crowd around the 7100 over there.
They did.
Yeah, they figured crowd. They would. That's a pretty hot item these days.
It is. Well, let's get on into the emails, and I've got one here. This came from Jay at Colo Radio, and he said, great tip on the Radio Shack Panavice. Was able to pick one up. Looked at the sale piece they had in the box, and they make all kinds of devices for mounting other stuff on there. And that's right, Jay. What he's talking about is this Panavice right here. And I've had a lot of people ask about this before, you know, and we've even showed it on the show before. Mm-hmm. What kind of vice does George use? And this is the same Panavice I use. I've just got a metal base that goes on the bottom of it, but you can make your own base or bolt it to a table or buy their base, whatever you want to use. Anyway, you want to rush down to Radio Shack as quick as you can. They don't have them on the website right now, but there are some stores that still have some in stock. Radio Shack is going to stop selling these, and right now you can pick them up for $19.97.
That's a steal.
That is a steal, because yeah, these are great. Normally about $50. And I want to thank Bruce Wilkie. He's a member of our Facebook group for Amateur Logic. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who threw that tip out there. And when he did, of course, I rushed down and picked me up a spare. I told you about him. Did you get you one yet?
Actually, I didn't get a chance to go yet.
Oh, you better. Oh, man,
yeah,
people have been buying them up left and right.
Yeah, you.
Me.
You've been going around buying them all up.
Yeah. Well, at $20, man, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I need to go and get one of those. Well, I got an email here from my friend Elliot. Says, Tommy, the video you made was spot on, and the Raspberry Pi, tasty? Yes. Works great. He said he found the power to go on Amazon a bit more than he might need, 100 watts. However, it all powers up and it's ready to go. That was the excuse I needed to place the order for the ID51A. Like you said, you need one for each hand.
Oh, you do. Now, he's talking about, building a hotspot there?
Yeah, he built the DVAT Pi that I built last month.
Okay. That was another guy here built one of these. We ran into at Huntsville.
This is a Pelican 1060. And then I drilled a hole where I can close it down.
Yeah.
And I have a little groove right here so I can run it off of 12 volts in the car or plug it in the wall.
Cool.
But I'm running off a battery and have been since 9 o'clock this morning, so I've been running for 4.5 hours on this.
Yeah, I like the case he's got there. That's one of those Pelican cases. The case I used was one that I found previously, and I just used it because I had it. But I think I'm going to get a hard one.
That looked nice. I think Ray may be building one like that. I saw some pictures on the internet this week. Looked like he's gathering parts.
Yeah, he ordered that same case, but it's just a little bit smaller, so stuff's more compact. Anyway, that's a nice one he did. Peter, do you have any emails for us?
Yes, indeed. I've got actually something quite out of the ordinary here. This email is from NASA, of all people, and just to give you a bit of background before I read it out, NASA have got an asteroid initiative whereby they've sought submissions from individuals and companies and other bodies as to how they can go and grab an asteroid and also how they can identify asteroids that might be heading towards the Earth. So I actually put in a submission. One of apparently 400 other people put in submissions as well. And they said that, greetings, you're invited to present your asteroid initiative ideas during the crowdsourcing and citizen science session at NASA's Asteroid Initiative Idea Synthesis Workshop on September the 30th to October the 2nd. Apparently, it's only one of 100 people who've been invited to do so. So what I'm going to do is actually put together a 10-minute video and send that over to them, and they'll play that. And apparently, you'll be able to watch the session on Ustream and perhaps on NASA television. So this is going to be something quite a bit different.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Peter. You know, Tommy, my father had a problem with asteroids one time.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Okay.
Well, that's great, Peter. Congratulations on that.
It really is. It kind of surprises.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, I'm always looking for other opportunities to try out videoing.
All right. Well, right now, let's go take a message from one of our sponsors who we just spent some time with here recently.
All right.
And we'll be talking with Carl a little later in the show. But right now, let's see what's going on at Gigaparts.
ICOM has pushed the envelope of mobile HF once again with the IC7100. The IC7100 features touchscreen controls, giving you a more intuitive portal into the IC7100's feature settings and menus. The uniquely designed control head provides a comfortable viewing angle, making it easy to use for both mobile and base station operation. No optional filters or add-ons are needed. Everything is included. The IC7100's 32-bit floating point DSP, powered by dual DSP chips, gives you full digital IF stage filter controls on all bands, HF through 70 centimeters. The IC7100 features built-in voice recording and playback functions, as well as an SD card slot for voice storage and radio cloning, a RIDI decoder, and high-frequency stabilization. It doesn't stop there. D-Star is also built in, providing DV mode operation on all bands, including HF. Stay ahead of the curve with the uncompromising IC7100 from ICOM. Gigaparts is the largest independent amateur radio dealer in the nation. Everything you need for ham radio, including books, DVDs, antennas, rope, coax, and tuners. Gigaparts has it all and is open Monday through Saturday. Call us toll-free at 866-535-4442. And our friendly staff will be happy to help you find the right products for nearly any project and budget. Online shopping made easy with real-time pricing and availability, and free shipping on most orders. Go to gigaparts.com and enter to win a free radio. Have a question? Click on live chat for a quick answer. Low prices? Huge selection. America's favorite ham radio store is Gigaparts.
Now through October 15th, be sure to use the offer code ALTVFREE9 when you check out at Gigaparts and get a free gift with your order. Tommy, you know, Huntsville is so much fun, and you see so many people like we were talking about. You know, Ray mentioned something about the banquets and presentations and things going on in the evening there. I didn't attend any of the banquets, did you?
No, I didn't.
We've kind of started a new tradition there. On Saturday nights, a lot of us gather together in the bar there at the Holiday Inn. And, oh, man, who did we have this year? We had Don Wilbanks. We had Martin G was with us this year. And Richard from MFJ. We had Charlie Wooten, who a lot of people will know. He's a big DXer. And he won an award this year. I can't remember the title of the award, but it is basically the head DX dude in the Southeast.
Head DX dude, that's quite the title.
I don't think that was exactly it. It's close.
That should be it. That
should be it. Let's see, Ted Randall and his son. And, I can't remember who all was there. Just Roger from R&L. Just a bunch of folks, more than we had last year.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a thing now. So next year, you're going to have to plan on.
I think I'm going to do that. We usually go and stay with family, but I think I'm going to stay at the hotel this time. Yeah. It's a little more convenient.
And there was one other guy there that's Don's friend, and he's become a friend of mine, too, now.
Oh, Joe Eisenberg?
Yeah, Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB.
Yeah.
And I had a chat with Joe. We talked about kit building, which is one of our favorite subjects.
Well, a couple of times a year, I really like to get together with my old friend here, Joe Eisenberg, and talk shop. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, George, and it's been a wonderful ham fest so far.
It has been. Not much time left on it today. This is Sunday afternoon, and things have slowed up a little bit. But what have you seen this year that you really had to take back with you?
Well, mostly parts and things like that. Haven't brought home any new kits from here because usually at most ham fests you won't find a lot of kits. But took home another pair of needle nose and another cutters. You know, you got to have those. And some tuning tools and a few other things that we need.
I bet I haven't spent $20 yet this year. I've got to make one more round before they completely shut down here. I saw a couple of scopes there I was a little interested in, but I just didn't find the deal I was looking for this year, so I'm going to have to keep looking a little longer.
Yeah, I saw some good deals on scopes, and what a lot of builders need to know is that a scope is probably one of the most valuable tools that a kit builder or home brewer can have, because it can show you all sorts of things, show you the distortion, or it can show you amplitude, or things like that, and you can even measure frequency and frequency difference, and you can look at the input and output of a stage and see what it's doing. And scopes used to be several hundred dollars, and now I'm finding really good quality working scopes for under $200.
Yeah, I saw several back there for $175. I almost picked up one of those, but I'm looking for just the next step up above that one. I've got a decent Tektronix now, but the display is not that big on it. It's time for a little upgrade there.
Yeah, I use a Tektronix 465 at home, and it's a dual trace. And when I turn on the second one, a lot of times I'll have two probes, and I'll have one looking at the input and one looking at the output of a circuit. And I was quite fortunate. It was about 12 years ago I was working for a IT services firm and did hardware primarily. And they had gone Chapter 11, and they were closing our office, and we were cleaning it out. And the instructions were to throw away this closet full of stuff. Well, in that closet was like six oscilloscopes. So those did get thrown out into my trunk, and almost all of them worked just fine. In fact, they'd been calibrated and kept up. And so that's how I got my Tektronix 465, and I wouldn't build without it.
I guarantee you. I think mine's a 445. I've used a 465 before. Those are really nice scopes. Well, what are you building these days?
What am I building? Well, my September column is going to be about the MFJ 941EK tuner kit. Now, what it is it's the very popular MFJ 941E tuner in kit form. And the real difficult assembly, the big coil in it with all the wires to the switch, are all done for you, but you still have to put it in. And all the toroids are pre-wound. And the front panel sticker is already put in place. So it's really a fun kit to put together. And you can see different things that you can add to it. Like you might be able to add an internal dummy load. And you might be able to add other features to it as well. And it's a fun kit to make. You can put it together in a couple of hours. And you have an antenna tuner. Now, you're only going to save about $20 doing that from a pre-made one. But the good news is you know what's in it. You put it together yourself, and so you understand it better, and you can modify it, upgrade it, things like that.
I'm in the process of building one of those right now, and actually I've already got it built, and on this week's Ham Nation I'm going to do the testing and calibration. I thought that was some neat procedures they had on adjusting the meters in there.
Yes, they do. They have you just reverse the wires and so forth, and just feed it backwards to get your forward and reverse signals. But I found it to be a fun build. The other thing I built, and that's in the October edition coming up, got to give everybody a sneak preview, is a TNC for the Raspberry Pi. Now, I had never messed with the Raspberry Pi before, and I know you're way ahead of me on that. But I had to take it upon myself to learn the Raspberry Pi, and it is a lot of fun. It's a very nice, simple Linux computer. In fact, they were selling them here at the Hamfest. I was surprised to find them here. And this TNC kit allows you to operate Packet with a Raspberry Pi.
And that's at tnc-x.com. I recently built one of those, too. Nice little kit. Unfortunately, in my area, all we have right now is APRS. We don't have just the regular old packet networks on there. So I haven't been able to do anything but APRS with mine. But fun build and not much money. You put the whole thing together, stick a little monitor and a keyboard, and you got it.
Yep, exactly. And in my area, we have an APRS and a DX cluster. So we have both in our area. So it's kind of fun to monitor with it.
Yeah, the DX cluster, that would be a nice option to have on it. Well, how's the summer been? You know, we saw each other back in Dayton, and I don't know what you picked up there. I didn't get a chance to get around through the flea markets like I would want to, but I did finally get my desoldering station after we talked.
And which one did you get?
I bought a Tenma brand from MCM Electronics. It's $299. It's a it's got the desk station with the vacuum and the temperature controls and all, and then it's a little pistol grip for $300. And of course, now that I bought one, they're on sale for $249 at this point.
Yeah, I have one. I can't remember how you pronounce the name of it, but it starts with an A, and it has the little pistol grip on it, and it has variable heat and. Fills the filter in the handpiece, and I've discovered that after doing five or six connections, I generally have to clear that handpiece filter.
I haven't cleaned mine yet. I do have to run the little cleaning rod down it, but I have not changed the filter out yet.
Yeah, and it's really useful, especially when you're desoldering ICs from a board and you want to make sure that you save the part. And the other good thing is on plated through boards, it does a good job of clearing the hole.
And that's always a problem. It seems like it's more and more as the holes get smaller to where the lead is almost as big as the hole. Getting that stuff out is difficult without destroying the board and the feed through.
My current project now is I'm starting on the Survivor, which is a 75-meter single sideband transceiver. And that's put out by Hendrix Kits at qrpkits.com. And it is a 75-meter single sideband transceiver. So you don't have to know CW to enjoy the results of kit building.
And that's a good thing because most of them are only CW transmitters. And, of course, you can build a receiver for anything, but the transmitters always seem to be CW. So I'm going to be interested to see how you like this one.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun kit to put together.
Well, what's your next HamFest?
My next HamFest, you know, I don't know. It's possible I might be going to one in the Kansas City area. We have a couple of small ones in the Omaha area and maybe the Midwest Division in Lebanon, Missouri. We're not sure yet. We'll get our fall schedule put together pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't have anything lined up right now except the one in Jackson, Mississippi, which I think is the end of January. And then the only other two that I really go to are Dayton and this one right here. And those two, you know, I've only been to them the last couple of years. I just avoided it for years, but I got to come back every year now.
Yeah, kind of a fun one is the Exarban Amateur Radio Club's Fliesta, which is held near Omaha. And that's coming up the first weekend in September. And they try to time it so that it's not during the football traffic because half of Nebraska takes the interstate to Lincoln from Omaha for home football Saturdays. So this is much earlier in the day.
I was talking with a guy out front earlier, and he mentioned the Dalton, Georgia HamFest. I have heard of that one often. I've never been to it, but I understand it really has a big flea market.
I have not heard much about that one, but I have heard that Stone Mountain is a very big one also in the fall, and I think that's in early November.
Okay, that might be a good one. It'll be a little bit cooler. Of course, the weather's been good here this year. It rained a little bit this morning, but the temperature has been down. For the south, it's been right comfortable.
In fact, this is very unusual. In fact, for me, where I live in Nebraska, this time of year, it's usually 85, 88 degrees for a high and in the 60s for a low. And I come here and it's usually in the lower 90s and the low is still around 80 degrees and much higher humidity. This year, it's been humid, but it's been in the lower 70s and in the 60s, which is pretty amazing for Alabama.
It really is. And, you know, we were near 100 last week over in Mississippi. And, you know, they have pretty much same weather here. They're a little further north, so it's slightly cooler. But, yeah, real comfortable weather this year. Well, we appreciate you talking with us, Joe. It's always fun to see you and compare notes and see who's building what.
Yeah, a lot of times we're working on the same things, and it's always fun to compare notes.
Y'all get out there and build something. If Joe and I can do it, you can do it.
You bet. In fact, we did the tuna tin kits here, and we had 11 of them get put together and 11 of them on the air.
Wow, that's great. Well, 73, Joe, we'll see you. I probably won't see you to Dayton, I guess. But
we'll see you next year in Dayton.
Well, let's get on back and read a few more emails here before we get on into the rest of the program. I've got one here that came from Bobby, KC2BBI. And Bobby said, hello, guys. This may be a little late coming, but he wanted to let us know how much he enjoyed the Voice of America special that we did. He said he's watched all the episodes of Amateur Logic and Ham Nation now while he was on vacation. And this special one was very well done. He said we do an excellent job along with the gentleman at the museum. And he did, Dave Snyder, man.
He knew his stuff.
He did. And he says it shows how a little American ingenuity came up with an idea that worked and lasted so long. Keep up the great work. Well, thanks, Bobby. He said it might be a little late, but it's never too late to give us a compliment.
No, never too late for a pat on the back.
Yeah.
We've got so many great compliments for that thing, too. If you haven't seen it, go check out the Voice of America special we did.
Yeah, it's probably some of our better work, and all due to Dave and his knowledge of that facility.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's on your stack over there next?
I actually have an email. I've got one from our friend Larry, K5RPH. He's a pretty sharp observer, I guess. It says, in your DVAP segment, there was a power supply on the left side of your workbench. What's the manufacturer and model number? 73. That's a Tenma variable voltage supply. I got it at MCM Electronics. It goes from 0 to 15 volts, and it's only up to 1 amp current. But here's the link for it here at the bottom. and you can find it. I got it pretty cheap. It goes for about $25, but I picked it up for $19. It was on sale.
Yeah, that looked like a pretty good deal. I should have grabbed one of those, but I didn't.
Yeah, it would have been nice if it were maybe 3 amps or so, yeah. But 1 amp is really good for most of what I do.
Yeah.
I've got an email here from Italy, from Federico IW2 MVI. And hello to all of our friends in Italy. Hi, I'm a detained operator. I enjoy very much your show, pretty informative and interesting. I'm also a Mac user. There are lots of good apps for Macs, but something or someone is missing. During the years I've made, he's ported some great programs like WSPR, JT65HF, WSJT-X, and HDSDR, and they're all available free on his website at http://subdimensions.com. The site's in Italian, but all the programs are in English. Have a great day, and thanks for your time. That's great, Federico, and we encourage everybody who's got a Mac and wants to try out those programs to go to Federico's website.
Yeah, you're a Mac dude, aren't you, Tom?
Yeah, actually, I just bought a new one.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I probably paid a little bit too much for that thing, but it sure is fast.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. We'll be looking for a full report on that. You can let me know how slow my PC is now.
Okay.
Well, you know, I talked with my friend Carl over at the Gigaparts booth at Huntsville, and boy, they had almost the whole store in there, but we ask him, you know, what's hot? What do people like right now?
Well, looking around, I see our friends from Gigaparts are here. Let's go in there and see what they're up to.
We're talking with my old buddy Carl here from Gigaparts. Hi, Carl. Good to see you today.
It's very good to see you, George. It always is.
We like to not got you here with so many folks in the booth. Boy, you've been busy today, haven't you?
We are very popular, Gigaparts as a whole. It is Huntsville. This is our hometown. But yeah, I am always running ragged this day of every year.
So what seems to be the hot item this year, or can you nail it down to just one?
Well, I can tell you what our most popular deal has been and what our two newest items that seem to be attracting the most attention are.
What's that?
So our best deal right now, I think, is the MFJ-259B. We came in with a decision that we were going to offer the best price on that no matter what. So we've advertised it that way, and I think we've just about sold out of them, and it's certainly not the end of the day on Saturday. We also have, and this is one of the reasons we wanted such a great deal on that classic analyzer, we have a very new analyzer from Rig Expert, a whole line of these that are absolutely amazing. They do graphing. The higher-end ones actually do color graphs right on the display. They all output to USB. They come with software. Really, really cool stuff. Very commercial grade. So that's been really exciting. Our other biggest new item is Juicebox, an all-in-one power solution.
Yeah, let's go look at that.
Absolutely. Bill Harrison, the manufacturer, is actually right here with us if we want to ask him some more questions.
Okay, Bill. Hi, nice to meet you. Come nice on in here you. And tell us about these.
Happy to. We have customers that kind of run the range. Some of them are just campers or hunters or whatever. But I'm a ham, and it's near to my heart. Some years ago, just started literally in the garage because I'm a CAD guy from kind of way back, doing a lot of design. Just kept making things smaller and refining it. And we wound up with our first product, which is the Juice Box. It's essentially just a power supply, but it is unique in that it's a complete alt energy system in a can. So you've got a 400-watt inverter, so you've got 110 volts AC, a 24-amp-hour battery bank, and these are AGM batteries. They're good batteries. A 3-amp automatic charger made by Schumacher, pretty much the last American company making nice chargers. It's got a Morningstar solar controller, so you can plug up to 70-watt solar directly into this system. It'll charge itself. You can plug it into the wall. It'll charge automatically. A lot of ham guys use them like UPS. They'll plug it into the wall, turn the inverter on, plug their gear in, and just let it ride. And then also they know if something happens, not only is their gear protected, but the system's charged, and they can close the lid and take off with the whole system. It even has a folding solar panel that's integrated into the system.
Oh, cool.
And that, of course, will unfold, plug into the system, and charge in the field. When it's closed, it's a waterproof system. We have a lot of folks that use them in boats or in farm trucks or at hunting lodges and camps, and it's turned into almost a joke, some of the abuse that the equipment goes through. But we're quick to make sure people understand this equipment is meant to be repaired. I guess it's fair to say we invented the armored battery. This is an eighth inch thick of aircraft aluminum. It's extremely tough. It's heavier than it looks. It's 3.5 pounds. This is completely waterproof. It's crush proof. It's got a full size 12 volt socket, voltmeter. We make a solar controller that'll charge this nickel metal hydride system from a solar panel. This particular one comes with a MOLLE pouch, so it can be worn on the side. The idea here with a 60 watt hour battery system, the requirement was to support a 4-man team, search and rescue with 5-watt handhelds for 2 continuous days in the field.
Well, that's a really neat product. Tell us one more time your website.
The website is portableuniversalpower.com.
And you can also find it at gigaparts.com.
Absolutely.
Thanks for talking with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, when we were talking with Carl, he told me that the Raspberry Pi and the Arduino products that they're now carrying are just really moving. They're selling a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, there's some real popular stuff right now.
Yeah, and hams are starting to get into, you know, these little microcontrollers and mini computers and all. There's so much you can do with them.
Yeah, you know, just about everybody that's got a D-Star handy talkie these days is building an access point similar to the one I did.
Yeah.
I see so much talk about that, and the Raspberry Pi is the heart of that.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is you don't have to figure out all this stuff for yourself. Maybe a little of it, but most of it you can find online where somebody's done it and was kind enough to post all the directions.
Yeah, you just need a ham spirit to try things.
Yep.
You know, that's what we do anyway, right?
That's it, exactly.
Did you know, by the way, guys, that this thing called the Adafruit Trinket, which is, I believe, has just been released. I only just read about it today. And it's an $8 development board. Very small, literally the size of a stick of gum, and it's apparently Arduino compatible. So I think that if for those people that have played around with Arduinos, this could be something well worth checking out.
Yeah, Adafruit has a lot of neat stuff.
Oh, yeah, and I love looking through the stuff on their website.
I do, too. I haven't really ordered anything direct from them yet. I think I've got a couple of their products that came, you know, from another source.
Yeah, Jim's bought some stuff from them.
Yeah. Really neat stuff. Well, High Gain had a brand new rotor controller they were showing off this year. Let's take a look at that.
Tom Stone is here to tell us about a great new rotator controller from High Gain. Hi, Tom.
Hi, my name is Tom Stone. I'm the service manager with High Gain. We have a new rotator controller this year, the DCU-3. The difference between the DCU-3 and previous versions is that it basically is automatic. Memories that you can program, you may want to set a memory for South Africa, one for Europe, one for Japan, one for Australia. We also now have USB connections so that we can hook up to the computer and run HRD, Ham Radio Deluxe programs. You just dial it in on the DX cluster. It sends a command to the rotator, points your rotator the direction you're ready to talk in. The new controller has LCD display, which our previous version had a plasma display. And the LCD, I think, is much easier to see. It has a blue numbers on a white background, or you can have white numbers on a blue background. It is switchable. Here you see the memory selection. I think I've already got some programmed in. So if I push the button, it automatically runs in the reverse direction and then runs forward. When it gets done, it coasts to a stop and has an automatic brake delay of about 5 seconds or so. The antenna coasts to a stop before re-engaging the brake. You have manual control also. You can go left or right at any time. You can override the memory commands that way. To operate it, all you have to do is dial in the direction you want. You have a slow and you have a fast option. Push the go button and it goes. It's very simple to operate. It's very readable sitting on your desk. And with the computer option, you have automatic features.
That really looks great, Tom. I'd recommend anybody interested in a rotor controller, check out the new High Gain DCU-3.
MFJ, the world leaders in ham radio accessories at mfjenterprises.com.
Let's wrap up our coverage of the Huntsville Ham Fest today. I had a little interview with Charlie.
Well, I'm talking here with Charlie Emerson, N4OKL. He's the chairman of the Huntsville Ham Fest. And what's the rest of your title, Charlie?
I'm the president of the Huntsville Ham Fest Association.
Okay. How's the Ham Fest been for 2013?
Okay, let me tell you something. We are absolutely excited about what's happened here this year. We had a really good increase of attendance. We know that we're over 5,000, and we just want to say thank you to everybody that participated, whether it was via the internet or whether you came to Huntsville to the Ham Fest, because we honestly do really appreciate everything that everybody's done for us and appreciate the attendance and the participation. We've had great participation from the dealers and donating the prizes, and we want to plug Phil Parton and Kenwood USA. They've Phil donated a TS590 to us, which just floored us. We tickled to death, and we've sold so many tickets, prize tickets, and you know, I always have about 15,000 printed up. We ran out yesterday. I had to call the printer and get 3,000 more printed up so that we could finish out. And so we are just absolutely ecstatic about the attendance and the Huntsville Ham Fest this year. We really do think that that the Ham Fest is growing, and of course that's what everybody wants to do with any Ham Fest, is grow the Ham Fest. And we bill ourselves as the world's friendliest Ham Fest, and we really do try to live up to that. So I'd just say to anybody that is interested in the Huntsville Ham Fest, come on and let us prove that to you.
Yeah, y'all sold out really early this year, didn't you?
Well, we did. We sold out really early with the flea market, and we sold out fairly early or relatively early for the dealer show or the commercial side. But we did. We sold out pretty quick on both sides, man. Just absolutely phenomenal participation and success there. We really did. So
I noticed, you know, the building here has got more room back there. Do you think it'll ever grow to the point that y'all will open up that next bay over there?
Well, we don't know that. We hadn't broached that problem with the Von Braun Center here, because we don't really know how they'll handle that for us, and we don't think that we'll be able to fill up that entire bay there right away, you know. So we don't know if they would rent us part of it or if they would piece it out to us or whatever. But I can tell you, you know, we are right on the verge of having to add more space. We want to try to make sure that when we do make that move, that we can make it smoothly and we can make it as a permanent thing. But we're not sure. But we do talk about that. Believe me, we talk about that a lot, man. No kidding. So,
well, Charlie, it's great to see you again this year. Great Ham Fest as always, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you back here again next year.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure, George. It's always good to see y'all and to get the billing and get the word out about Huntsville Ham Fest, and we appreciate the great job that y'all do.
It was good to talk with Charlie again. It sounded like they really did have a good Ham Fest.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's what a super great guy, too. Really nice.
And they're always working on trying to improve things over there. He told me that they're going to discuss about maybe letting us get into the forums with the cameras next year.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, they had a lot of great forums there, a lot of good information that we would have liked to brought to you. But let's get on with our emails now. I've got one here from Tim, KE0Q, and he says he's been enjoying the Amateur Logic and the smoke and solder stuff I do on Ham Nation. And he said, this is a kind of encouraging and informative program that hams need to be watching. He says, there's never a show where he didn't learn something. And he says he's 68 years old now and has been very active for about 10 years. He has not been as active, though, because he's been living overseas in the Philippines, where he did have a reciprocal license, but just wasn't able to operate very often. But he said ham radio is a great hobby to enjoy even into old age. He had a QSO with a ham a couple of weeks ago that was 95 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said that should be a real challenge and encouragement for those of us who are clicking off the years. And, yeah, it should be.
Count me in on that.
Yeah, count me in on that, too. Tommy, what have you got over there next?
Yeah, I've got an email from this one's from Elliot K1MF. It says, DVAP pie, tasty and good for you. All your instructions in the latest video went through except when it came to the following command. It's the sudo command to decompress the tarball. And after which I got an error message. And he sent a screenshot of it. But anyway, he believes the download went okay. All the updates and upgrades went through also, along with Qt4 install, and Midnight Commander went well also. But go back and double-check your syntax, Elliot, because it's real easy to make a typo. There's a lot of commands, and the case matters on that as well. So, but Elliot actually sent me an email back. I communicated with him before, and he got it all working and everything, but he had a typo in there. So,
just to put it in context, this is about episode 54, which is the episode where we did the remote control. And, of course, I operated Tommy's rig over in the US. And I've got the email from Don AC2 Echo Victor. He says, I can only hope you change the passcode. It's the same one I used on my luggage. Hi. I set my system up at home using Skype and logged me in. I used log me in to the machine to do control with Ham Radio Deluxe, and then use Skype for the audio. There's a little delay, so you won't be using it for contesting, but RAG chews are good. I also tried ComCat for the iPod, iPhone, and Skype, and that works too. So there's obviously different ways you can operate this equipment. But thanks very much, Don.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Yeah, we don't have those here anymore, so don't have to worry about changing the passcode.
Yeah, it's all gone back on.
Yeah. Well, Icon's got a big promotion going on mobile rigs right now, so let's see what they've got.
Some great D-Star radios have entered the market in the last year, but let's not forget all the solid analog radios out there. From radios strictly on 2 meters to dual banders with analog capability, Icon has your complete analog solutions this fall. Check out Icon's compact military rugged 2-meter IC23H mobile, 65 watts of stable output. Oversized tuning dial is easy to use. It's got 4.5 watts of loud audio and 270 memory channels and multiple scan options. Consider the ICV8000 for your next mobile adventure on 2 meters, 75 watts of output power, a rugged die-cast aluminum chassis, and fast memory scanning with dynamic memory scan. ICOM's IC7000 is an all-mode HF, VHF, UHF mobile. It's a compact radio with a colorful high-res display, dedicated interface keys, and great tuning knob, built-in DSP noise reduction and filtering, and it's popular for de-expeditions and field days as well. Looking for rugged, easy-to-use handhelds with plenty of memory channels, loud audio, and long-lasting battery life? The ICV80 and the V80HD is a 2-meter handheld with 5.5 watts of high power. A built-in BTL amplifier helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, and it's great for noisy environments. There's 207 memory channels, and the HD version includes radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and a rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. The ICT70AHD is a dual-band transceiver for classic operation on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. Like the V80HD, this version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and the rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. It's easy to program with a simple keypad, large backlit alphanumeric display, and it has 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, 302 memory channels, and fast scanning features. Why not take a look today? Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's analog ham radio selection.
Well, Tommy, you and I were really partying it up over there at Huntsville. Peter, have you had any festivities going on down there?
You bet. Been having a big party, a DATV QSO party. We ran one last year. It was a big success, and the year before, actually, from memory. And so, we hooked up with the guys in the US and lots of digital and analog ATV signals being sent. And here's a short summary of the footage.
The K3 ATV stations are standing by.
Okay, well, this is Don, KE6BXT, in Mission Viejo, California, USA.
Good evening, everyone. This is Nick, VK3CH, operating from our outside studios at the home of QDH in Northcote, which is about 5.5 kilometres north of the Melbourne Central Business District.
The audio on that.
Rotten thing won't go off.
That's better. Now we can talk in peace. Good evening, everybody. It's VK3DQ with my wife, Jean, who is VK3 Victor India Papa.
Hello, everyone, from VK3PB and up a bit better. Yes, a very good evening to everybody. Good evening, Don. Good evening, Peter. Thanks very much for organising this as usual.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Good evening, everyone. This is VK2ZUH.
Good evening. This is Jack VK3 Triple Whiskey in Vermont. This is interesting here. I don't often transmit shack vision. Those of you who have been in my shack will know why. The actual ceiling is at the tip of my finger right there.
Good evening, all. David, VK5DMC.
My name's John, VK3ATV.
I'm Don, VK5ADM.
So, welcome to the Lima Lima Shack, complete with iron in the background. I'm in the lounge room this evening, and it's something a little bit different for everyone. I'm showing you a digital transmission, I guess, like you've seen from some others already. But there's a subtle difference. The transmission you're now watching is what I like to call totally digital.
This is Tony, Kilo 7 Alpha Retro.
Okay, this is VK7 Tango Whiskey at the desk of the studio of VK7 OTC, the club station of the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania.
Okay, that'll give you an idea of what it is. It's really a three-element Yagi. But it has a launching element here.
I'll just show you a quick tour of the shack. This is the DVB S gear from the SR Systems that I'm coming out to you on.
G'day everyone, VK3KQ.
Welcome everybody. It looks like it's been a very good night. My name's Clint Jeffrey, VK3CSJ, VK3 Charlie Sierra Juliet.
Hi guys, VK4KI, /VK4BTV.
A very good evening, Peter. Very sorry for the misunderstanding there. I've been sitting here waiting for all that time.
This is Ken, W6 Hotel, Hotel Canada. And we're located in Southern California in a city called Orange, located less than 5 miles from Disneyland.
There we go. His signal's a little bit on the weak side.
Good evening to everybody in Australia, and welcome. Thanks for the ATV QSO party.
Very good evening. This is WARUT, located about 20 miles north of, east of Columbus.
Name here is Bill, located in Columbus, and I see my signal coming back on the repeater, and if it makes it to Australia, I'll be totally amazed.
This is WA8RMC in Columbus, Ohio. Or in Westerville, suburb of Columbus, Ohio.
VK3CH operating portable ATV at Abundura Park in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. One of our favourite haunts for a radio club to come up here. Melbourne's turned on a beautiful day for it. As you can see, plenty of green and plenty of sunshine. I'll show you what we've got in here. And we've got some lamb ribs and a shoulder of lamb with garlic, mustard, honey herb. Down the bottom level, we've got a few more of the ribs. I'll just keep the lid on that to keep the temperature up. And I'll say that 2.5 hours, we'll be enjoying that.
Dropped out for some reason there. Trusty old radio. And then up here, it's by Pride and Joy. This is a skyscraper. Let's see if I can zoom in on that a little bit. There we go. That's up a bit more. That's a skyscraper radio from New Zealand. You probably won't be able to make it out, but you can see 2YR, 1YA, 3YR.
Right. Okay, that's the path. Penguin is in the little island there, is Tasmania, and that's where I'm situated. And Rod, VK3BQJ, was at inland from Lakes Entrance.
Yeah, this is KE6BXT, and they're passing it to California now.
Hi, everybody. W6KGE in Southern California.
I found the file. This is the house with my towers.
This is K0CCU in Glendale, Arizona.
From Santa Barbara, California, this is Rod WB9KML.
Okay, KE6BXT, this is N6SNX, and this also is K6DOG. Actually, Zoe here with me. If you look at my QRZ page, this is one of the two dogs I have.
But welcome to everyone from the U.S.
all the local stations. My name is Jack, VK3 Triple Whiskey. I'm the president of the Eastern and Mountain Districts Radio Club. We've got about 225 members.
I would like to thank everybody that participated in the DATV QSO party both yesterday and today. Or for me, it was started about 2 o'clock this morning and went till about 4:30 this morning, and then started again about 5 and left 7:30 here. So this is Don, KE6BXT.
The rotten thing won't go off.
Well, that's technology for you there, George. Look, we had a great time. It's just really great to hook up with the guys in the US. And as you will have noticed from the highlights, there's a slow but steady progression or a changeover happening from analog to digital. Now, early next year, there's a new board being released called DATV Express, and we expect that that'll cost about $300, and that'll be the major component in a digital transmission system. So I expect next year that you'll see a lot more digital stations, and we'll see quite a considerable improvement in picture quality. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, that really was a big difference, wasn't it,
Tom? Oh, yeah. The digital pictures were incredible.
They were. They were really good.
Some of the other ones kind of made me think of the stuff we used to see from the lunar missions and things like that. It's interesting. But
great step for mankind.
Yeah. Giant leap.
Yeah. Well, that's those ones are mainly analog, including my own, I might add. But I'll certainly be upgrading to DATV Express. So next year you can expect to see basically a perfect picture.
So us Americans actually need to do a little catching up then. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I don't like to be critical of the Americans, but we're perhaps a little bit more advanced over here. We have a two-channel digital repeater, and many of the amateurs have bought the SR systems setups, which are fairly expensive, which allow digital transmission. So basically from transmission through the repeater and out, 100% digital, so you've got a perfect signal.
I'm hearing another opportunity for a cage match.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? I think there would be a winner in that one, though.
Yeah, maybe. Probably so. You know, we had 7th anniversary last year. It's only logical that we got 8th anniversary coming up.
Well, if I do the math, I think you're right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm looking over. I think we still have the other half bottle of wine from last year.
Well, it ought to be good and strong by now.
It ought to be. But we're going to have another contest here. And you certainly want to get in on this one. We got some good prizes, don't we? Tommy, what's the big prize?
Oh, man. I'm going to have a hard time giving this one up, but this is a nice IC7100.
It is. And we'll have one here on the table to show you next month. It didn't quite make it in time this month. We've got some other great prizes to kind of round this out with. You know, Gigaparts and Diamond have gotten together. They're going to donate some antennas for us. We're going to get the NR770HA. That's the VHF, UHF mobile antenna that's
nice
so
one.
Popular.
Yeah.
And we're also going to get, listen to this, a Diamond SD330 HF screwdriver antenna.
Oh, sweet.
That is really nice. That works all your bands. And, you know, you're going to need a tuner with that. So Gigaparts is also going to throw in a turbo tuner, too. And that's a nice rig now. You know, I just purchased a screwdriver antenna and the turbo tuner, too. Mm-hmm. At Huntsville last month, and man, what a nice setup! You know, it hooks right to the ICOM rig there, and you just hit the tune button on the front of the rig, and it automatically starts the motor and the antenna, and it watches the SWR, looks for the dip there, and then stops right at that position.
Yeah, no getting out in the rain and moving jumpers anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, I like the Outbacker, but. You know, pulling off the road to change the jumper was kind of a problem. So.
Yeah, the convenience from tuning in the cab is great.
Yeah, George, Tommy, just a quick question, but our previous competitions have been restricted to the US, but this year it's a little bit more expansive, isn't it?
This year ICOM America and ICOM Canada have gotten together on the contest. So this one's open to amateurs in the United States and in Canada. For all the details on how you enter, go to amateurlogic.tv/contest and have a look. You can only enter once, so if you've already entered, don't do it again. When I posted out the picture of the prizes and everything, people were wanting the car that was in there, Tommy, and couldn't get a deal with Ford, but I was able to work out something with Matchbox, and we're giving away the Mustang along with it.
Awesome. And if you have too much SWR, we're actually throwing in this fire truck with it as well.
We just released the IC 7000 versus the IC 7100 SmackDown.
Yeah, cage match.
Cage match. And our official photoshopper here, Mike, sent us a little picture. Now, don't worry. I did come up off the canvas there. This was only temporary. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. He held his own.
Yep. So that's it for this episode. What episode number is this, Tommy?
58.
58. Oh, wow. Well, we've had a lot of fun. And tell all your friends about Amateur Logic. We've really appreciated it and been gaining a lot of new viewers here. More and more all the time.
Yeah, Facebook group is growing. Be sure to come check us out there at the Amateur Logic Facebook group.
Yeah, also the Google Plus community.
Yep.
And you can follow us on Twitter.
Twitter at Amateur Logic.
And you can get Amateur Logic on iTunes. And where else, Peter?
On your Roku box.
On your Roku box.
And on my Roku box.
Yeah, on your new Roku box. Yeah. And we've also
We're in the channel store, so just look for our channel in there. I think it's under Science and Technology from memory.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the Amateur Logic Wiki at amateurlogic.tv/wiki. Our good friend Dan does that.
Yeah, I always appreciate your hard work on that, Dan.
Yeah. And I don't know, anything else we need to wrap it up with tonight, guys?
That about does it for me.
I think so.
It does it for me.
Oh, and I almost forgot. We've got a net too, don't we, Tommy?
Yeah, we do, on EchoLink Net. We have on the Monday following the show release.
And in this month, the show release, the 15th, is a Sunday. So let's push it off a week, huh?
Yeah, last time we did that, we gave people a week to watch the show so we can chat about it.
All right, so join us on September 23rd at Star Do Drop In Star, and that's node number
355-800.
Okay, there you go. We're looking forward to seeing y'all again next month. Until then, have a great what's left of the summer.
Yeah, 73. Well, George, we're finally here.
Yep, Southern Ham Nirvana. We're here at the Hanny Buck.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, I figured as much. I bet there's still a good bit of interest in the.
Either one will be good.
Yeah,
I stuttered.
Join at the bar there on the Holiday Inn on Friday night. No, Saturday night.
Must have been a good party if you couldn't remember what night it was.
Here we go.